So, Mr. Bevere, we have had an interesting phenomenon over the last few months. What's been happening on the golf course? Maybe you can tell us about that.
It's been amazing. You know, Lisa, I've been playing golf for 49 years. Wow, that's a long time. And I played in high school, and I've never had a hole-in-one. And it's been so frustrating. I meet people, and they're like, shooting in the 90s and 100s, I shoot in the 70s, right? And they're like, oh, I've made 7 hole-in-ones I've made in my lifetime. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Well, November 5th of 2015, I made my first hole-in-one. It was 184 yards and went right in the hole. I screamed so loud, the guys 184 yards away in the tee box came running up to take our picture. And then 2 weeks later, I made another hole-in-one on an 181-yard par 3.
So November?
Yeah, it was November 20th. So the first one was November 5th, second was November 20th, and then on January 6th.
Yes.
I made another hole-in-one.
Yeah, seriously, when I got that one, I thought you were lying.
I know.
I was like, who gets 3 in 3 months? That's crazy.
In 2 months. 2 months in 1 day.
2 months in 1 day. That's out of control.
That's crazy. But that's not what we're here to
talk
about.
But you know what? Actually, I did pick out this story for a reason.
Why is that?
Well, because I think a lot of time, you said you played golf for 49 years. I know that you probably weren't super, super serious about it at certain points. But
wasn't my day job.
I know that you, and it's not your day job now,
right?
Unless you know something.
No, it's not my day job.
But you know what? You just kept doing it. You just kept doing it and doing it and doing
That's true.
And I think a lot of times in ministry, people get weary in well doing. They're waiting and they just keep doing
and doing.
And you know what? Hey, maybe you're like God setting you up for 3 hole in ones. I don't even know, but I do feel like, you know, people ask, how do you get started? And sometimes it's just being consistent, just doing it every single day.
That's so good. I mean, wow, you got a teaching out of the hole-in-ones.
They've got to capitalize on it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to remember that, and I'm going to start preaching on that.
That's
so
fine.
Anyway, we're here to talk about our early years. We're in this kind of series this month on the early years of ministry. And Lisa, I want to jump to where we got launched as, you know, we were youth pastors, and we were launched with our pastor praying and sending us out. Just like Acts chapter 13, it was very similar. They laid hands on us on a Sunday night service and said, we're launching you. And I remember God had said to us, do not write letters, do not call pastors, you let me provide and you let me open the doors. And that took a lot of faith.
Yeah.
And we literally, the first year that we were out there, saw God meet our needs the day they were due.
Yeah. It was just needs. If we needed $100, that's what he brought in. He didn't bring in 110. He brought in 100. It was daily bread. We felt like we were living manna. I actually remember feeling like every single thing was coming personally to us from God. If we prayed and said, God, we need $70, we got $70. I just was wondering if angels weren't delivering things. And it was pretty exciting.
Do you know one I really remember? Our house payment was due.
Yes.
And our house payment was, I think, $700. And we had nothing. And it was due.
Yeah.
And I remember this little hippie couple, okay, from Alabama.
Rather large hippie couple.
Oh, yeah, they were big.
Yes,
they were. But they had they told us one time they didn't even have
it's
a headboard
like
for their bed. And they had like 8 kids.
Yes.
And they were bikers. And
and possibly illegal importers of things.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yeah. And they sent us a letter. I went to our P.O. box, and there was one letter in the P.O. box. And it was from them. And they said, we don't know why, but we felt to send you $300. Now, that was kind of exciting. I thought, well, you know, we still have $400 to go. But that night I spoke at a little church in downtown Orlando, Florida. There was about 40 people in the church. And when they gave me the offering at the end, it was in a paper sack.
I remember you bringing that home and we counted it out.
It had nickels, dimes, pennies, quarters, and dollar bills, and $5 bills, and $20 bills in it, and $10 bills. And when we counted it all up, it came to $396.26. And you add that onto 300 and you get $697.26. We saw God meet our house payment on the day it was due. And that is the way our entire first 4 years went almost, and especially the first year. I remember one time, no doors were opening, and I was frustrated. I'd been home for a month, and I was out in a tennis court early in the morning, and I screamed out, I said, God, if you don't open up the doors, if you don't open up a door for me to go preach, then I'm going to go get a job and sack groceries. And that's it. Because I'm not going to promote myself. And I remember a guy asked me to come preach, and it ended up being a 21-day meeting. And it was how God really blessed us from there on out. But Lisa, what I really want to talk about is what happened 4 years later. We had been.
I want to talk about something though, sure, that was in that season too, because I remember we really involved our children in all of that. We had them praying, you know, they were praying with us. And in that season, a lot of people want to know, how'd you get these open doors? Well, I do remember that we would lay on our calendars and we would pray.
Yep.
We would say,
yep,
doors of utterance open in Jesus' name. We would pray that God would open doors that no man would could close, that God would shut doors we weren't supposed to walk through.
Yep.
We would pray and believe that God was going to make ways where there didn't seem to be ways. And really, seriously, we laid prostrate on the floor hours. I mean, it was, we prayed a lot. I do remember being pregnant and falling asleep a couple of times and you waking me up, and I was like, okay, if it's not done right now, I don't even know if I'm helping on any level. But yeah, we would really, really pray. And I do remember one morning, Addison coming down.
He was, and
it was in that.
How old was Addison? About,
I want to say he was 3 or 4.
Okay, 3 or 4.
And you know, we had just come through that season of very intense discouragement, and we had gotten out the videotapes of the prophecies that had been spoken over us, and we had watched them to try to encourage ourselves. And I remember we just felt like they were empty, that there was just no life on them. And the next morning there was just like a heaviness in the house, and we got up, and I remember Addison coming down and he said, "Mommy, Daddy, God came in my room last night." And we were like so heavy, we didn't even really respond. We were like, "Oh, that's nice.
That's great."
And he said, And he said to me that I am a good boy and I'm going to heaven. And I thought, I think I actually said that. You were probably falling asleep. You know, I mean, I just listened to him. And then he said, "And Daddy, he told me to tell you new doors, Daddy. Don't go back to the old doors, Daddy. New doors." And then he said, "There's a snake." And he actually said a nake. He said, "There's a nake in our yard and you must kill it, Daddy." And do you remember,
yeah,
the snake that we felt like was in our yard was discouragement. And right at that moment, something hit our front door and you opened the door and there was a big black rat snake at our front door. And I remember you went after it with a shovel. Yeah. And I think so many people, they don't understand there's a spirit of discouragement that will come when the enemy knows you're about ready to cross into a threshold of where God is going to put his hand on your life. He's not stupid. He hears the prayers where you say, "God, I just want to bring you glory. God, I just want to honor your name. God, I do just want to walk in the capacity that the anointing of my life wouldn't supersede the character, that the opportunity of my life wouldn't supersede my character." When he hears those kind of prayers, he's like, "I'm sorry, we're going to have to discourage these people. We really need to shut them down." And he will shut you down with discouragement. It's one of his major tools. And he'll say things like, "Who do you think you are? You should never have quit your job as youth pastor. You should never have gone out. You know what? You know, you're not going to be able to provide for your family. You know, you say you believe God. God's going to fail you." And I think so many people don't understand that is part of the battle.
That you have to
take courage. You have to take courage. You have to take heart and be strong.
You know, and so many times today, I wonder sometimes if people don't do the battle. Because I remember you and I would speak to discouragement and command it to leave our home. I remember one time there was such heaviness on our home because it was so tough. I put on a cassette. Okay, this is a long time ago.
Yes, celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Celebrate Jesus, yes. Celebrate. And you were at the grocery store. And I remember
we got someone dancing at the table
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, we do. And I remember I just started dancing because I knew that the Bible said God inhabits the praises of his people. And the Bible says, "Praise the Lord in the dance." So I put on that thing and I turned the stereo up and I started dancing, "Celebrate Jesus." And Lisa, it felt like I was dancing through liquid lead. And then, you know, it was like a whole melody of like three songs or four songs. And it lasted about 15 minutes. And at the end of it, the Holy Spirit, I heard him say, "Rewind it and play it again."
Yep.
So I rewound the tape and I started it again. And this time I turned the speakers up so loud that the walls were almost shaking. And I just started dancing again. And I didn't feel like dancing, okay? And in the second play, I remember getting a glimpse. It was like my eyes were closed and I saw Jesus on the throne. I got a glimpse in my heart. I went crazy. And I started running through the house with so much energy. Now,
so much joy.
Before, before, I could barely even dance. I was so drained of energy. And this is a symptom of a spiritual attack. You feel lethargic. You want to take two naps. You just want to go lay on the couch and watch the TV.
Yeah,
Elijah. That's what happened with Elijah.
Yeah,
Elijah,
absolutely.
You know, he laid down under the tree mm-hmm. and wanted to die. Mm-hmm. Okay, he was under attack. That spirit of intimidation that Jezebel had launched against him. And I remember, I had so much energy. I was running through the house screaming, rejoicing, and all of this, right? So then it kind of came to a close, and you came in about 15 minutes later, and I'll never forget. You said, "What happened?" I said, "What do you mean, what happened?" You said, "The whole atmosphere in this house has changed." And I think that's the thing people
and
have
I had
to,
been trying to bring you into the dance dynamic for a while there. I had
yeah,
been kind of like, hey, when there's heaviness,
it.
We just need to dance.
I wasn't going for it. But, you know, it was a marker time for me because I remember doors started opening up, mm-hmm. provisions started coming. And so it is a battle. There were times I'd have to go out and say, "Satan, you want to fight? You're going to get a fight. I have a sword. You don't. I'm going to take the sword. And I'm going to cut you up and rip you up into pieces." And I'd start speaking the word of God. Jesus is opening up doors that you can't shut. Nobody can shut them. And I'd just start speaking the word of God. And then I remember after 4.5 years, I remember one day I was out praying. And this is one of those times I'll never, ever forget. The Holy Spirit said to me, he said, "Son, I've brought you and Lisa and your family through a wilderness." And it had been 4.5 years. And he said, "Now I'm going to begin to bless you like you've never even dreamed of." He said, "I'm going to begin to promote you. I'm financially going to bless you. I'm socially going to bless you to where you're going to have an abundance." He said, "But son, it's actually a test. It's a different test." He said, "Now, in this season," he said, "are you going to start just spending money wherever you want to spend money? Or are you still going to look inside and make sure that you're spending according to how I want you to spend?" He said, "Are you going to get up on platforms now? And are you just going to say what you want to say? Whereas before, you knew you had to trust me for every word, because if you messed up, it may have ramifications for you financially and doors not opening." He said, "Are you going to start doing things and not seek me anymore?" He said, "Son, everybody gets tested in two realms, the dry places, the wilderness, and in the abundant places." And he said, "Most that have fallen have fallen in the abundant mm-hmm. places." And I'll never forget that. I came home and I sat down and I shared that with you. And you looked at me and you said, "When I heard the first part of what you were saying, why did I feel like getting up and dancing? You know, but then you said, but now the fear of God is on me." Do you remember that?
I do. I do remember that.
But I remember what it did for you and I.
Yeah.
It prepared us mm-hmm. for the abundant time because things started changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at
it. It was a shift.
It was a shift. David went through that 14 years of real wilderness and deserts, but he never, ever became a Saul. If you look at Solomon, he didn't go through what David went through. When he went through his abundant times,
yeah, his heart was lifted and pulled away by his wives.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So don't despise the day of small beginnings.
They're very, very crucial for our learning process.
Okay, so we just want to encourage all of you to stay in touch with us. And you can actually go to iTunes and
they
you
can subscribe.
Subscribe. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they just go there and subscribe for what?
For future podcasts. They can keep touch with us on Instagram, Facebook. They can go to Messenger International website. Yeah, there's a lot of ways to stay in touch.
Okay.
We'd love to hear from you. We would love your input. We'd love your questions. It's just really helpful. We want to make sure we're actually speaking to things and about things that are important to you.
All right.